we paying attention to all the wrong things? We're going to talk about it on today's Hot Zone.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. I am back in West Virginia, and it's so nice to be back to the land of the free and the home of the brave. And you know, I've been thinking about that. When you put those two things together in that great song, our national anthem, the land of the free and the home of the brave, I'm starting to realize through this whole COVID crisis why they go together, because you really cannot be free unless you are brave. Does that make sense? And that bravery sometimes extends to maybe giving up something that you'd rather have to provide for the needs of others, to protect others, putting yourself on the line to help others. And that's what the idea of America is all about. And that's why it's so discouraging to see all of the strife that's happening over the killing of this black man in Minneapolis. I have not yet been able to find anybody who doesn't roundly condemn what happened. Obviously, the city leaders in Minneapolis are condemning what happened. The police in Minneapolis are condemning what happened. They fired the four police officers that were involved with before even conducting a major investigation. Everybody, the president, nobody is making excuses for what happened. And so yet we're seeing these massive riots. They're not protests. They may have started as protests, but they're actually riots. And when you destroy the work of another man's hand, who, especially one who had nothing to do with what happened, that is just absolutely wrong. And it's not American. There's no excuse for it. There is absolutely no denying that this is criminal behavior. And the sad thing is, it really just reinforces the stereotypes that these people are so angry are being acted upon, they believe are being acted upon, when a white police officer kills a black man. Now, look, everybody is upset, and they should be. This is an egregious abuse of power, and everybody agrees with that. So why are these people burning down their own neighborhood? Why are people all over the country attacking police officers? This is a very safe country. Believe me, I go to a lot of countries, and America is a very safe, very good country. We're the most charitable country on the planet. So you really don't have any excuse to go out and burn down your own neighborhood. If you do, you're just stupid, you're a criminal, and you deserve to be jailed just like any other criminal. There's no excuse for it. There just isn't. I'm sorry. It's not a political thing. It's just logical. Now, I'm going to get off of that for a second, because I want to talk about the things that we are missing in the news while the whole world is focused on Minneapolis and all these riots. The Chinese government they have been moving powerfully, forcefully around the globe, taking advantage of the COVID virus crisis, taking advantage of our distraction. They've annexed now Hong Kong, essentially. Hong Kong is no longer one country, two systems, no longer. When the British left Hong Kong in 1997, if they could have seen where we would be today, they would have never left. And they should have never left. We can tell now they should have never left. But that's not the only place that China's pushing into. China is pressing into taking over Taiwan. They're pressing into Australia. They're working very hard on just taking advantage of this crisis every way they can to move the ball forward in their favor. And that is something that needs to be told. So a few months ago, we started talking about this months and months ago. when I interviewed Michael Yan, the famous war correspondent who was in Hong Kong reporting on the protests. And a lot of people didn't really understand those protests and what caused them. So I want to go back and play parts of that interview again so you'll understand the history of what just happened in Hong Kong. Check this out.
Yeah, it's pretty important. You know, as you know, the Communist Party of China is on the march and has been for generations, and we are squarely in the crosshairs. And there's many different battlegrounds. I mean, there's innumerable. I mean, there's anywhere from, well, Cambodia, where they've got a quote-unquote resort that they've been putting in, which is really set up to be a naval base. You've seen the islands in the South China Sea, the Nine Dash Line, and similar things over in the Philippines with these quote-unquote resorts and debt traps in various countries in the Pacific and also in the Indian Ocean and Africa, or next door here in Myanmar, they're doing, you've heard of the Belt and Road Initiative, the BRI, of course, which is a huge project that spans all the way over to Europe and through Pakistan. I get messages constantly from Pakistanis, you know, especially like Pashtun people and Baloch people that are very worried about what the Chinese are doing. And they're saying that, for instance, people in Myanmar are saying, different ethnic groups. But anyway, Hong Kong, as you know, I mean, that goes back to the 1800s, of course, with the Opium Wars. And of course, it was a British colony until 1997. And then on July 1st, 1997, Britain turned it back over to China. What you've heard, the one country, two systems idea that they use with Taiwan and Hong Kong and whatnot. But in reality, China is trying to constrict and swallow Hong Kong and Taiwan and many other places and do so softly without firing a shot. And so that's what, you know, the recent protest you've seen in the news in Hong Kong, which I was just over, I flew over there to witness, you'll see those are attributed to the extradition treaty that China has tried to enforce on Hong Kong. And the extradition, if you want to call it treaty, is let's just imagine it in ways that we Americans can understand. Imagine if the United States said, you know, we can just arrest anybody we want in Canada and we'll just bring them right over to the United States for trial. Of course, Canada is going to say, no, you can't, you know, and they're going to say we're our own country. And although we're a lot bigger and a lot stronger, we could impose our will. They could at least resist. But when it comes to Hong Kong, they don't have any personal weapons. They don't have any military. They don't have, they're outnumbered literally about 200 to one. So they've really got no chance. They can be squeezed off in many ways. For instance, they're dependent for their water on mainland China. You just cut off the water spigot, right? So, I mean, there's so many pressure points that the Hong Kongers really don't have a way to effectively resist that's in any, you know, Scott Irish type of way. You're like, we'll pick up our muskets and go for it, right? There's no way they can do that and succeed. However, and by the way, let me backtrack a bit. The Hong Kongers, although ethnically they look Chinese and they speak Cantonese, not of course mainland CCP, they speak Mandarin, of course. But the Hong Kongers do not like to be called Chinese. They want to be called Hong Kongers. So if you call a Hong Konger Chinese, they'll go, wait, stop. But there are other ways that they can resist. For instance, the Communist Party knows, especially after Tiananmen Square on June 4th, 1989, you remember that massacre, that was very costly for the Chinese Communist Party because the world said, hey, what are you doing? And we imposed various sanctions. Now, today, the Chinese Communist, larger, you know, mainland China, is economically very vulnerable. A lot of people mistakenly think that they're on parity with the United States. We can crush them. And we are damaging them right now, thanks to President Trump. I know people don't like to hear that. But hey, let's face reality. We're finally putting them on the back leg. We got them in the corner. And we need to keep hitting them in the ribs, right? The Chinese Communist Party realizes that if they go full bore on, if they, for instance, do a Tiananmen Square in Hong Kong, which they could do, I mean, they've got military forces right there. The world will immediately seek retribution. And you and I can do that ourselves. We don't need a president or a prime minister to lead the way. We can just stop buying Chinese products. And if you get millions of Americans and millions of Europeans and millions of Asians that say, hey, I'm not waiting on tariffs, I'm just not buying anything that says made in China. And that's devastating for China, right? And China knows that we can do that. And they know that we will, because if they go in there and they kill even 100 students, there's going to be a price to pay. So now China is in that tough situation where, you know, the more that the students rise up, the more that Taiwan and other countries, you know, China hates it when you call Taiwan a country, you know, are emboldened to rise up, right? Like the Uyghurs and so many others, because they sense that weakness, and because China is vulnerable. Nobody cannot, you know, there ain't a horse that can't be rode, right? So that's the predicament that China is in. Now, I was actually in the protest. They're massive. They're massive protests. So, I mean, they're peaceful, mostly very peaceful. I mean, extremely little violence. And I've been in a lot of very violent protests with thousands of casualties. I was there on July 1st when they broke into the LegCo, which is their legislative council. You may have seen it all over the news. That's like breaking into our Capitol building. That's like breaking into to the British Parliament or the Japanese Diet, which is like their parliament, right? I mean, imagine a bunch of protesters trying to break into the U.S. Capitol building. That would be like D-Day. You would never get in. Or let's say if you did, you would need tanks, right?
Now, it seems like there was a lot of violence centered around the taking of the Parliament building. Is that true? What did you see there?
Not really. I mean, I was there. And again, I have a little bit of background on me. I've been in, protests all over the world. I've been in hundreds of protests. And in the United States and Thailand and just many countries. And I've seen some extremely violent protests. I mean, people killed all around me, that sort of thing, but not in Hong Kong. Now, what you see in Hong Kong is there is a huge information war going. We know that Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, are really great at waging information war. They're some of the best ever, right? That which is a problem for us. I wish they were good guys. But the Hong Kongers, hey, They're the good guys, but they're lying just as much. You know what I mean? I mean, they come up and they instigate problems with the Hong Kong police, which historically they've had really good relations with, actually. And so they're doing that normal thing that I've seen in like San Francisco. They come up and they provoke the police, and all the photographers come around. You know, when you feed minnows and all the minnows come up for the crumbs? Well, that's the way the cameras go. All the cameras crowd around just like that, waiting for the police to shoot the tear gas or whatever, right? And then that's what you see on the news. So that's what was actually happening. Now, they did break into the LegCo. For instance, those windows that you may have seen on television, they're pretty thick. You can't just throw a brick through those things, you know? They're proper, you need sledgehammer type stuff to get through. That's that sort of plexiglass, right? But they did. They smashed through quite a few of them, and I went in there with them, and they spray painted all. Man, this is like breaking into the U.S. Capitol building. That's how big this was. So this is a huge black eye for Beijing, even though we're talking about Hong Kong, but Beijing is saying this is still China, right? A big question is, why did the Hong Kong police pull out? I mean, if the Capitol police pulled out in Washington, D.C. and let our Capitol building be overrun, we would be like, we would overrun the White House next week and say we want a new president, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, right, exactly. We would get rid of our whole government and get a new government, right? And so, the police just abandoned it, right? And so anyway, they came back later. I got tear gassed a little bit, not too bad. When they took it back, it wasn't really violent. Like, there was one journalist in front of me, a woman. She was screaming and crying. She got tear gas. And I'm like, settle down. It's okay. It's not a problem. It's just tear gas. I mean, but those were the kinds of things that you were seeing. I'm sure you've been tear gassed quite a few times, right? You know, it's nothing to cry. It's nothing to be happy about, but it's nothing to cry about either. And so,
yeah, it'll make you cry, but it'll go away pretty quick, right?
it's not fun days, but it's not like you're on fire either. And so that was what we were. It's interesting, Chuck. They were wrapping themselves in Saran wrap around their arms, and a lot of them were wearing shorts, and they were wrapping, you know, the clear Saran wrap around their arms and stuff to keep. I was like, that's not going to work, bro. that's not going to be the tear gas. And they're wearing those little sneeze masks, you know, the sneeze masks that can.
That's not going to help.
No, there was just a very few that had actual, like 1% had any mask that would actually, yeah, like real respirators, like maybe 1%, if that many. And so, but no, it wasn't violent. No bullets were fired. Nobody, to my knowledge, had to go to the hospital. But I believe they have arrested, well, I don't know what the count is at this point, but the last time I looked, it was up to about 70, because, you know, they got cameras everywhere and they got the face recognition. I mean, this is downtown Hong Kong. Well, all of Hong Kong is kind of, well, actually most of Hong Kong is actually kind of wilderness, but the downtown area is as built up as Washington, D.C. And as you know, there is no place you can walk in Washington, D.C. without being on like 10 cameras at one time. Right. And it's the same way there. Right. And they've got, and the Chinese Communist Party, the PLA, the People's Liberation Army headquarters, is like, you could look on Google Earth. It's probably 400 meters away maximum from hash code that was broken into. So that's their, basically the Pentagon in Hong Kong is like maybe 400 meters away from the Capitol building, right? Or, you know, their LegCo, their Legislative Council building. And no army showed up. Now, I was told, Hong Kongers told me, they're like just across the harbor, which is like a 10-minute boat ride away. They're like, there are ships full of Chinese soldiers and they're waiting. And all they have to do is get the order and they'll be here in 10 minutes. They just hit the throttle and they'll be right here. And so, but nothing happened. So no violence. And again, China is in a tough predicament. The more they let it go on, the more it'll probably build up. But if they crack down, we're going to crack down on them. You and me can do it. We don't need to even wait for President Trump to help. We just stop buying Chinese, right? And so, we can. Every person on Earth has that power. You know, China is desperate to negotiate with us at this point. Now, remember, only about 6 months ago, the world was saying, China will crush you. America has no chance against China. It's like, yeah. And now everybody's going, well, look at the United States is a bully against China. You know, whatever, dude. The United States, the one thing that we are really good at is competition. When we don't have good competition, we get lazy and dumb. But when we got good competition, we put people on the moon. I mean, we're the best in the world when it comes to competition. So that's one thing I actually enjoy about China, is because they really made Americans do what we do best, which is wake up and fight.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.